All right, let's turn our Bibles tonight to 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. We're going through the book of 1 Corinthians here and there. And now we want to spend a little bit of time in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, of course, is verse 31 of chapter 12. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And so chapter 13 is the love chapter, the more excellent way. And the first verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 through 7, we find the perfection of love. That in its character, love is far greater of character than any gift that a person could have. And of course, the last half of the chapter it tells us that gifts are temporary, and the apostolic gifts in specific are temporary, but love is not temporary, never faileth. And so as the Apostle Paul is dealing with this great exposition on what is love, giving us its perfections, of course he is applying it to the very problem that they have in their church at Corinth, a problem of not having love. And they were a very selfish people, and this was revealed in a number of aspects of that church. And so while he is correcting their wrong view of gifts, he is correcting as well a character problem that's in the church. Of course, when we talk about the true identity of love, we recognize that that true love was exhibited by the Lord Jesus Christ. Herein is love, not that we love God, the Bible says, but that he first loved us. And so as we look at the Apostle Paul's description of love, we realize that this description, this understanding of love, first of all, is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. It comes through the Lord Jesus as he has control of our life, as we focus and allow him to work in our life. And that love is transforming. So we want to very quickly look at some of the verses that we already looked at. But beginning in verse 4, we have 15 perfections of love. And the Bible says charity suffers long. And here we have two things that love does not do and three things that it does. In verse 4, charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. And of course, it starts off by saying that love is a patient. I like a quote that someone gives about love. Love has a temperament that patiently sustains injuries without desire for revenge. Love has a temperament that patiently sustains injuries without desire for revenge. Aren't you glad that God is long-suffering to usward? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Bible tells us here, love is kind. It bestows benefits on others. It is a companion of patience. It can take whatever is offered by an antagonist without resentment, and can go the second mile in performing deeds helpful to the one who counts him as an enemy. love your enemies. Here we find the next verse. It says, we have eight negatives in verse 5. It says, it is does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity. The Bible tells us that love is not jealous. Love does not brag. Love is does not parade. I guess I got ahead of myself here. Vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. It does not parade itself. It does not to have any effort to obtain applause for outstanding performance. See, love is unselfish. It doesn't want the attention. It doesn't want the applause. It doesn't seek applause. It tells us some things that love does not practice. Verse 5, it says, love does not behave itself unseemly. Love is not unbecoming. Love is proper. Love has manners. You know, there's a phrase today that, a thought that has missing from society because society has become so selfish. And that is what we call manners, politeness, propriety. You know, people today are so self-centered, there is no sense of propriety. What's proper? You know, what is proper? How do you act properly to the circumstance? How do you dress properly? How do you respond properly? Of course, there was a lot of things in the book of Corinth that talks about propriety. Chapter 11 talks about women's behavior, and it tells us that there is proper behavior that is becoming of women. Chapter 11 talks about the proper way of acting and participating in the Lord's Supper, propriety, what is proper. Love, in other words, is considerate of others and is proper and uses good manners. You know, I think the book Emily Post and the book of Manners and Etiquette is not even read anymore. Because our society has become so selfish, so self-centered, that it cannot control itself to act properly, to have manners. And so the Bible tells us that that love does not behave itself unseemly. The Bible says that love seeks not her own, is not guilty of seeking. Self-seeking, it's not, it's seeking instead the edification of others. Of course, the whole chapter of 14 is talking about the whole matter of the proper use of biblical gifts was for one reason, edification, the building up of other believers in the faith. And chapters 8, 9, and 10 of 1 Corinthians are all about putting aside your rights and my rights for the purpose of edifying other people, other believers, not being a stumbling block, but we are thinking about the edification of other believers. And so we have those three chapters that are dedicated to, and Apostle Paul says, you know, this is love. This is love. When you are dedicated to building other people up in the faith, You aren't about living your own life, doing your own thing, doing what you want to do, regardless of how it affects other people, if it tears them down, if it is a stumbling block. Love isn't selfish. Love is all about building up others in the faith. And that is a great truth there. It says that love is not easily provoked. Has so controlled the person that resentment those type of actions that come from being provoked are not come to the front. 1 Corinthians 6 tells us that they did not bring a lawsuit against other believers. Because why? They weren't easily provoked. They didn't. They weren't aroused to resentment and to take negative action against their brother. The Bible says, "Thinketh no evil." You know, America's theme is 1, 2, 3 strikes, and you're out. At it. 1, 2, 3 strikes, and you're out. Well, isn't it good that God isn't like that? You know, 1, 2, 3, one strike. Oh, we can handle that. Second strike, oh, they did it again. Third strike, oh, that's it. I'm done. You know, but the Bible says that love thinketh no evil. The word thinketh is the idea of logizomai. It's the idea of adds up the injustices. And if we're guilty of adding up the injustices, it's because we are self-centered. You know, a child could add up the injustices, right? They could say, well, mom did this, mom did that, mom did that, that's it. Now, I have the right to be just mean or nasty. Or dad did this, or brother did this. And the Bible says that is not come from God. That comes from our sinful nature. Anytime that we want to remember what someone has done and how, you know, it kind of injured us, whatever that wrong was, remember that's not love. That comes from the devil and self. Thank God that he didn't say 1, 2, 3 strikes and you're out. Love does not, the Bible says, think evil. Then it says, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Now here's an important thing about love. The Bible is telling us that love is righteous. Love is righteous. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. Love is never associated or rejoices in unrighteousness. It's always positioned on the side of righteousness. That's a very important truth. Aren't you glad that God is always positioned on the side of righteousness? Now there's false love. False love, you know, rejoices in iniquity. You know, false love will side with iniquity. Unrighteousness, they call that love. That's not love. The Bible says love does not rejoice in iniquity. On the other hand, it tells us that love rejoices in the truth. Boy, that's another good one for the day in which we live, okay? It tells us that love rejoices in the truth. Love is always in harmony with the true doctrines of God. Love never sides with error, which is a distortion of biblical truth. That's not love. And because love rejoices in the truth, the love has to take a firm stand against iniquity sometimes. 2 Thessalonians, it says, if a brother will not work, okay, have no fellowship with them, but that they'll be ashamed. The Bible says there's someone that brings not this, the doctrine of Christ, you know, don't bid them in, don't invite them in, don't bring them into your house. Don't support them. Don't bid them Godspeed. The Bible says love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Then it tells us we have a hyperbole. Four things that love does. And a hyperbole is an overstatement for the sake of emphasis. These things must be seen in light of their light to be consistent with other instructions in the Bible concerning right and wrong. When it says that charity believeth all things, it does not mean that it doesn't believe that black is white and white is black. It doesn't call sin right and doesn't call right wrong. And so this is a hyperbole. It has to be understood in light of the rest of the scriptures. But when it says it says that love believeth all things. It is the idea that it is not overly suspicious. Love gives the benefit of the doubt. You know, some people, they can't trust anybody. You know what I'm saying? They can't trust anybody. Well, the Bible tells us that love believeth all things. Love hopeth all things. And so even when a person is disappointing today and they break trust, there's hope. There's hope that in the future, as they grow in Christ, they can become trustworthy. And it says, we have the other two parallels, beareth all things and endureth all things. Love puts up with associates that have personality traits that are hard to live with. You know, isn't it amazing that people will... for money's sake, they'll put up with, you know, people that aren't always the easiest to get along with. They'll put up with them to retain a job. How much more so should people be willing to put up with people for the sake of the Lord and His work? Amen. And so it says it bears all things, and then it says endures all things. And this is looking also to the future. You know what? We endure all things because Christ is coming back. Amen. Christ is coming back. Love endures persecution. Love endures all sorts of difficulties. Love endures all those things because it is looking to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's amazing as we think about this great truth, it kind of fits into the rest of the chapter where it tells us the last verse. It says, and now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Verse 8, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away, but charity never faileth. We think of the Apostle Paul. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14, he says, the love of Christ constraineth me. The love of Christ constraineth me. We see the parallel with the Lord, what he endured. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, we'll look there as we close. Hebrews chapter 12. It says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience or endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And notice his example, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so we have that that same truth of the endurance of love, the believer enduring whatever it is because of the love of Christ. And the Lord Jesus enduring what he did on Calvary's cross so he could pay the penalty for our sin. The enduring, love endureth all things, looking to the future, to the coming of Christ, to the judgment seat of Christ, to the time that we will stand before him, the time that we will give account to him, to his return, and his arriving of all things. And so the perfections, we see these 15 perfections of love, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and obviously, there are many more in the Bible, but even as the Corinthians were corrected, as they had everything out of proportion, as they were magnifying themselves, jealousy, one of another, because of position, because of gifts. And they did not focus on who they needed to be before the Lord. And that's what we need to do. We need to focus on who we need to be before the Lord. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, we thank you tonight that, Lord, love is not in our sinful nature, but love is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we allow him to change us from being a selfish, sinful, self-centered person, to becoming a selfless, others-minded, changed on the inside person, changed by the love of Christ and by your Spirit. I pray even tonight that as these truths clearly paint a picture that applies to each one of us, that we would see where selfishness is ruling and self, and where, Lord, needs our flesh needs to be crucified, and we need the Lord Jesus Christ and his love to be imparted in our life through the Holy Spirit. May you use your word tonight, Lord, in our lives. And may we be humble before you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.